What's up, tribe? I'm Erica.
And I'm Mila.
And this is Good Moms, Bad Choices podcast. Beach.
Season two. If you joined us for season one, you got 300 uncensored episodes.
But things are a little different in 2024. Not only are we having new guests, new segments, but we're going outside, y'all. We're getting out of our studio and podcasting in the wild. So make sure you check us out on YouTube to see where we're headed next.
This podcast is for all the good moms, all the good dads, and even y'all who ain't got no kids. Pull up. Join us in season two as we deep dive into even more uncensored topics like love, sex,
dating, and just look at this as the ultimate group chat. All the shit you're afraid to say out loud or even try, we say it and do it for you.
Because nothing's off limits here.
This is a judgment-free zone to show up exactly as you are. And let's be honest, we've all made a few bad choices. So sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride. It has been a juicy 6 years.
Bitch.
6 motherfucking years.
I mean, honestly, we have lived very juicy lives in the last 6 years. I am in awe of the experiences that we've cultivated and that we've... I was just taking a brief little stroll down memory lane. And honestly, to like 17 different celibacy packs.
Promises are not fucking.
Yeah. Dick toxing.
We have done that a lot. I think it served us.
It has served us. Yeah. Even through like traumatizing shit, you know, pregnancies, abortions, relationships, evil men. new businesses.
Travel. Heartbreak, disappointment, repeating mistakes. A lot of bad choices, a lot of good choices that didn't look like good choices at first. They looked like bad choices that ultimately became good choices.
Some illegal substances, depending on what state you're in.
You know, this is the most committed relationship I've ever been in.
This is the most committed relationship I've ever been in. This is the most shared bank accounts I've ever had with anyone.
I don't share bank accounts with anyone else but you.
Me either.
What the fuck?
Orlando.
You gotta open up a bank account with Orlando at this point.
I was like, I'm scared. Only me and Eric. I don't know. I was like, you have a penis. I don't know if I could do it. I don't know. Penises and bank accounts don't go together.
You know, I think that might be true. I actually think that's true. I think penises think this too.
You know, it's, you know, goddess experiences, world travels, Coachellas, just a lot of weird shit, a lot of virtue, a lot of tears, a lot of deep hugs, and a lot of just commitment to not giving a fuck. And thank God for it. You know, I think a lot of women think a lot of times that their soulmates have to be men and it has to be romantic and that that's where the cure is and that's where the happily ever after is. But I'm here to tell you that when the pussies meet up, it goes crazy.
Not when the pussies meet up.
I'm just saying, not like in a scissoring type of way. Just like a sisterhood, you know? Like
just as friends, just meeting like two yoni holders in the same room.
Yeah, like just cultivating their energy and being clear about their manifestations, it goes crazy. So you are my soulmate. And I'm very proud that I've met you in this lifetime at the very right time, at the very perfect coordinations. You know, Erica and I grew up down the street from each other in a world where it was not that far apart. We know a lot of the same people. And there's not that many black people. And still, somehow, we missed each other.
Yeah.
Until 2014.
Yeah.
Because that's when it needed to happen. And God knew. And this is divine.
I was going back and listening to our first episode called Sex, Apps, and Kids. If you haven't ever listened and journeyed back to episode one, I want to encourage you to do so, because when you listen, you'll realize me and Mila really didn't know each other at all.
we were just kind of winging it and just wanting to sit down and have a conversation. And in the episode, we introduced ourselves and we said, like, hey, I'm Erica and I'm Irie's mom. And I feel like we need to like reintroduce ourselves now as women, like 6 years later. I feel like there's so much has changed, but so much hasn't changed. Like, we're still those women in so many ways, but also like how we identify might be different now. So, Jamila Map. Mila Map. Who are you, darling?
You know, in this era of good moms, I have taken on the full identity of Mila Map, which is just a small portion of Jamila Map. Same, but different. But I'm Jamila Map, Mila Map. I'm author. I'm mother of a 9-year-old who was 3 when we started this journey and is a whole functioning full adult with no training wheels. I'm an expert podcaster. I'm a sexologist and tantric practitioner. I'm a healer and a retreat leader. I'm a merch designer. I'm a clothing designer, goddammit. Okay, let me just be clear. I
Fuck
design clothes.
merch.
I
If
fuck
I
merch.
have a pair, I'm apparel.
I have apparel line. If you just go to at Good Moms Bad Choices. I am a woman committed to growth and to evolution and to self-awareness and to friendship and to like just true community and being honest about who the fuck I am and how I show up in the world. And I'm also a woman that's just not afraid of the majority rule. I'm a woman that's breaking rules and making it comfortable for other women to break rules. And I love that shit.
Amen. Yes, you are.
I'm a woman, I'm a wife to be. I'm learning to be a better wife, a better friend. So, yeah, this chapter is much different than it started.
I'm Erica. I am a mom of a 9-year-old, which is wild. I am silly. I am goofy. I am quiet. I am loud sometimes. I feel I am highly intuitive. I am an intuitive. I am a priestess. I am a Reiki healer. I am an amazing partner, amazing business partner. I'm a creator. I am a rapid manifester. I am someone who, when I have an idea, I follow it through. And I haven't always been that, especially when I met you. I think like I had a lot of ideas that I did not complete. And this space and what we've created has given me immense confidence in my ideas and knowing that there's nothing I cannot do. Like, in fact, I have to like sometimes chill out. And I'm also someone working through things still. You know, I'm working through feeling 100% confident in who I am, in all of my choices, and standing in my truth. I'm still someone who is working out the pieces of identifying what truth means to her. I'm someone who's committed to, I am committed to choosing what my nervous system says feels good. And I'm at the very beginning of that journey. I feel like Good Moms has been the benchmark of understanding that. And like now I'm very committed and trying to trust in knowing that like I am the medicine and I know what I need in order to feel my highest self so that I can be of service.
Self-healing.
And I am a sex goddess. I'm a tantric sex goddess, even though I'm not even having sex right now. But if you knew the type of shit I was doing, god damn, you would be fucking jealous. Last night was amazing, baby. I'm a sacred hoe.
Sacred, huh?
And yeah, that's me.
A very good friend of ours is about to interview us, finally, because we're fucking sick of interviewing each other. So, let's go.
Let's go.
What's up, everybody? It's Van Lathan. If you don't know who I am, I don't care about you either. I am the platonic male girlfriend of the Good Moms, Bad Choices podcast, and I'm here with my girlfriends to kiki and have a great time as we celebrate their six-year anniversary. To my left, Jamila Mapp. To my right, Erica Dickerson. Thank you so much for having me, ladies. And thank you so much for being here, everything that you do, your podcast. I want to say something real quick. I'm very proud of this podcast, and I tell people this all the time, because y'all kind of started off as the little engine that could. Y'all were scrappy. I'm serious. Didn't have no big cosign. Wasn't on nobody's big network. Wasn't on, didn't have the whole push, but just organically built and cultivated an audience, some would say a cult, and were able to get up to a point to where I'm looking at the Apple charts and I'm like, oh shit, look at Erica and Mila. They did it. They fucking made it. You guys should be very, very proud of what you are building now and continue to build. So I'm happy to be here and happy to see you guys successful.
Thank you.
Cheers.
Cheers.
Thank you for coming to hang out with us.
Of course, no problem.
Even though you call this a cult.
Like, I don't use the cult word lightly, but when people start traveling to other countries and particularly countries, you know, areas where things have happened, I mean, oh, what's going on? And also I asked to come and y'all told me I couldn't come.
Because it's a woman's retreat van.
Sexist.
And what happened in Costa Rica?
I mean, just stuff happens all over in different places like that. You hear about different things. You guys don't want me to come. You guys don't want me to be whole and feel like a bad bitch. I understand it. But I want to ask you guys something. You guys are really close friends and you are like in simpatico in so many different ways. What have you learned about each other in 6 years doing the podcast that A, you didn't know and B, you didn't like?
Ooh.
You should have warned us. Damn.
This is your idea. Mm-hmm. What did I not know about?
Let me tell you why I asked you that.
Okay.
Because a lot of times what we tend to do with relationships is, in my opinion, any type of relationships, we pay attention to how euphoric somebody makes you feel. And one of the coldest things my dad ever told me was that, you know, you fall out of love with people. And that's when the bond and the structure of what you built is really, really important. So as much as we talk about what we love about people and what we like about people, I think it's also important to be like, this is what we move through in spite of like how our personalities might not match up.
Mm-hmm. I appreciate you saying that because I think I appreciate you saying that your dad said we fall out of love with people, because what I've learned in this marriage and even with like my romantic relationships is that we don't fall out of love with people, but we get to know people deeply, and in our human nature, our defense systems will take the things that we don't love or that are not perfect, and then we will create things that make us fall out of love with them as a defense system. I don't like this about her or him, so therefore, I'm going to
love them less.
I'm going to stop fucking with them. So in this chapter of my life with Good Moms, and just in my adulthood, you know, like we started Good Moms when I was 29, almost 30, and I really don't feel like you start knowing shit until after 30. Maybe last year, actually, I started knowing shit. But I think that the reality is, and I talked to you about this the other day, is like, in love, it's easier to see in love and romantic relationships, because women and men, I'm sure, have this like fairy tale idea of what their love is gonna look like, what their lover is gonna look like. You're gonna look like this, you're gonna be tall, you're gonna be handsome, you're gonna worship me, you're gonna respect me, you're gonna have X amount of dollars, you're gonna pay the rent. There's all these like, it's a profile. There's an avatar that we create of the person we're supposed to be with. And when those things that don't start to check off immediately, even if it's the most minute, simple things like a nigga wearing crop tops, you will be like, I don't like that. I don't want that. Mm-hmm. Get away. Like, mm-hmm. You want to dispose of people in ways. And so in this chapter of my life, I've learned that like when you really love someone as a human, you have to also learn that even if there's things that you don't love, which there will be because we are all human, that you can't and you don't want to dispose of them. And so it's like a conflicting thing, is because, like, as we grow up, our defense systems tell us to dispose of people to protect ourselves. But the reality is, people will disappoint you. Everyone you know will disappoint you in ways, but I don't want to leave you. And so, all that to say, I don't think I have anything that, like, wait, what was the question again?
Is there anything that you've learned to love Erica through?
Anything you didn't know about me.
Anything you didn't
and
know
that
about
you don't love about
that
me.
You, that you had to love her through.
I think that I've had to love you through, and I think this is for a lot of women, and we've shared this before about, like, just women are deeply, and we're water signs, we're deeply sensitive bitches. And when you love someone else in a romantic relationship and that strongly affects you, it affects everything else. And you've said this. And I don't, I mean, obviously when we met, we're just on some fuck it, while it, like, Hinge and fucking go on dates type shit. So we were neither one of us in relationships. And so we've had to learn each other as we've evolved and learn each other in relationships. And I think that has been not difficult, but I think in my past I've had friendships that, like, changed completely for relationships. Well, bitches do this in general. And so I was like, there's also a fear that I'm like, oh my God, my friend's going to leave me. She got this new nigga who's not shit. And only I can see it. So, like, and not even with, like, this last relationship, even with, like, Poetry Bay, when he didn't like me in, like, 20 minutes, I was like, oh no, my friend's going to leave me. But I think women historically have this terrible habit of, like, trying to make men fit into their lives. And I think that, like, I think I was afraid of your love for love, keeping you from yourself and keeping you from our friendship, because what we do is not kosher. It's not
conventional.
It's not conventional. Mm-hmm. And so us in relationships, the men that we choose have to kind of understand that what we do is, like, it may be a little extreme, but it's for a purpose. Mm-hmm. And it's our personalities. But I think that I've always been in fear of, not that you would leave me, that is a thing, but also that you would forget the purpose of what we do. Because we're always, like, there's always a pendulum, like, oh, fuck, do we do too much? Mm-hmm. Like, we did an episode yesterday about ASMR, and we're talking about Christians, and I'm like, I've been thinking about it, like, three times. I was like, oh, no, the Christians. And they're gonna think we're fucking Jesus.
We called God a them they.
They're going to think the Christians are going to hate us.
Yeah.
But, I mean, at the end of the day, like, I also had to come to terms, like, if you don't understand our humor, you don't understand it. Mm-hmm. You know, that's fine. Mm-hmm. And you got to laugh at some shit, including Jesus. But I think that overall in this chapter, it's always been, like, and it could be because of past friendships that I've had, but I've been afraid in certain relationships that you're going to, like, be like, are we doing this for free? Is this important? Like, I don't need to do this. Like, this is maybe too extreme. Mm. And I've been like, that's been my biggest fear.
Mm.
God, Van just went in immediately with the shit.
Let me take a sip. Okay, something I didn't know about Jamila. I mean, I didn't know shit about Jamila when we first started the podcast.
Right.
So she wasn't really my friend. We didn't, like, start a podcast like some bitches who are like, this is my best friend and we're gonna have a podcast. Like, I was like, I don't know this bitch. I need a friend. Maybe she'll talk to me every week.
Oh.
So there's many things I did not know, including that she wanted to have, like, 5 children, that she wanted to be a stay-at-home wife, which really surprised me because that was not the energy that Jamila exudes to me. Mm-hmm. So I was like, okay, that's surprising. I think one of the things that, I don't want to say I don't like about Jamila, because I love my friend. One of the things that I have noticed is her, and she's worked through this a lot, is her ability to make things that are actually very disrespectful casual, like things that she is such a girl that is just like, it's not a big deal, it's okay. And I'm like, no, actually, it's not okay. Mm-hmm. And I need you to know it's not okay. And so it's her superpower. But also I feel like it's been a detriment. Mm-hmm. And I admire her for it, but then I also feel like sometimes I've had to, like, advocate for her in certain situations where I'm like, this person is no longer my friend because he disrespected you. And that's that. In her mind, she could be like, it's okay if you want to be friends with him, like, even though he disrespected me. And I'm like, no. So because she is such a free spirit, I feel like sometimes I've worried about boundaries. boundaries for my friend, and I can't have boundaries for her. She has to, only she can create boundaries in that way. But as her friend and as someone who I protect her in ways, and just like she protects me, I've sometimes worried about her boundaries with people's proximity to her energy, because I'm very quick to kind of like cut people off. Well, in love, it's a little trickier for me sometimes. Mm-hmm. So I would say that that's something that has been something that I don't love for her, because I care for her so much and I want the best for her.
It's interesting. I'm gonna ask more broader questions about the podcast, but even when I listen to those answers, what I hear is I'm afraid of losing her and I'm afraid of someone hurting her. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? I'm afraid that she won't set a boundary, that she'll set a boundary in love, and that I'm afraid that she doesn't set boundaries. Mm-hmm.
So you'll set a boundary that you don't need to set. Right.
So that means, you know, it's right for a deep connection, because you guys are going to each pull each other to the middle. Mm-hmm. It's very good. Very beautiful. Okay. So you start off, you're going to do a podcast. What did you hope that the podcast would be, Erica?
Fun. Yeah. I had no hopes, like genuinely. Like, I didn't even know I was starting a business at all. I just wanted to have fun. Mm-hmm. And I just wanted to talk to someone who was going through a similar experience that I was. And then my hope was that, like, our friendship would grow. I really didn't even know if our podcast would grow. It was just like, my friendship would grow, I would be less alone, and I would feel less like a slut for having experiences that made me feel alive at the time.
Hmm. What about you? What did you hope that the podcast
I would? Absolutely, that really resonates with me. I really think I just needed a friend who wouldn't make me feel like a slut. I had a lot of friends.
Everyone needs a friend who won't doesn't make them feel like a slut.
That's a shirt. You have a friend that doesn't make you feel like a slut. Because that was really what it was. It was just like, I got some shit to do, and I'm tired of telling the same bitches. Those bitches are giving me funny faces. And I think I needed a black friend, and I needed a friend who wasn't going to make me feel like a slut. And I think that I also needed a friend who was a mom. Mm-hmm. Because I was a black mom going through a breakup. And that means something, I think, for a lot of women of color. Like, I'm going to be a baby mom. And so I didn't feel like my other friends related, because A, didn't have kids, and B, they weren't black. So when Erica was going through like the same exact thing at the same exact time, I was like, perfect. I honestly, she could have asked me to do anything, sign up for fucking math camp, and I'd have been like, sure. I want to hang out with you.
What has it become that was unexpected? What so in your wildest dreams, because think about it now, it's not even like just the podcast. Like, you guys have the tribe, you have a lifestyle. I feel like a lot of women live vicarious through you. A lot of people live vicarious through you guys. It's more than that. Is what it is now, is any part of this unexpected? Do you ever look and go, wow, I can't believe that this is happening.
Yeah, I can't believe I'm sitting in a bar with a camera crew, sitting with you, Van, who we slid into your fucking DMs. And actually, I went back and looked at the message that we sent you, this disrespectful-ass message.
Wait, actually, I need to pull it up.
With me and Jamila in lingerie. This is how we baited Van.
Wait, I need a Van to see this. I really want him
I remember the message very well.
Do you?
But I think he needs to see the picture.
Right.
Wait, can you please? Wait, I screen recorded it because I'm just gonna read it to you.
Okay.
Hey Van, we love your outlook and your podcast, and we want to collaborate on an episode if you're available. We're also in LA, and we're interested. If you're interested, let us know when you're available, as I'm sure our listeners would appreciate some male perspective. Our topics range from from mom shit, sex, dating, and current events. We record at the crib in the valley and would only take 2 hours of your time.
Not us inviting strangers to my house.
Yeah.
We can also come to you if that's more convenient. Look forward to hearing from you. Okay, so that was like 2 days. Okay, so 2 days later.
What year was that?
It was 2018.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
He didn't respond. So then I said, he did respond. He said, then let's fucking do it. I dare you. All caps. And I said, let's fucking do it, Van. When are you available? He didn't say shit for 2 days. So me and Erica pondered deeply on this.
how are we gonna get him to respond?
And then we know what niggas want.
So we had just taken like a sexy shoot. We said, send him this. And I said, are you sure? She said, yeah.
Send him the titty shot.
It's really Erica's titties. They were new at the time.
I just bought them.
And then we wrote, but this is the most epic part of the titty shot. The epic titty shot is with this. Don't be a pussy now. We don't bite.
What was my response?
We sent a perfectly stranger titty pictures
and told him not to be a pussy.
But what was my response?
He said, why are you calling me names though?
why are we doing it? You know what the funny thing is? The funny thing is like, I'm the type of person, people reach out like, Van, I host some podcasts, small podcast, El Paso, Texas. All we talk about is movies. We publish at 1 a.m. every third month, blah, blah, blah. Would you come on and talk about Heat with us?
He'll do it.
I'm like, yeah. Van, are you fucking serious?
Yeah.
I don't give a fuck. I'll come talk.
He'll do it.
I'm like, if I have nothing else to do, I'm cool. I'll come talk to you. But then when I started looking at it, the podcast was so new, I didn't really have a good frame of reference as to what the conversation was going to be. Then I remembered something.
What did you remember, Van?
That I had covered Erica.
You had covered me?
Yep.
What?
On TMZ.
With the baby daddy?
With the whole her father being one of the greatest athletes of all time type of situations, which I still freak the fuck out about. Yeah, I do. I freak out about it all the time. It makes her feel weird, you know. But it's just weird.
You like to make people feel weird.
I love that. It's one of my favorite things. I know who this. Okay. And then I thought, maybe I'll get to meet Erica Dickerson.
So this is what it does. Wait, then.
It all comes to light.
I thought maybe I'll get to meet.
Is
it
her dad was at our house?
SMU. You know, the Rams.
He was waiting for a signed football.
You know what I'm saying? I was thinking maybe I'll get to meet Erica Dickerson.
You know what? 6 years later, we might be able to get you that.
You know what? Thanks, Dad. I've
actually met him since then.
Did you tell him you knew me?
Nah.
Why?
Because it was about me and him, not me.
What the fuck? You probably would have gotten better with him.
Yeah. That nigga the man.
Talk about his favorite daughter.
So after we said, don't be a pussy.
That was me, actually. We don't bite. I said to tell Jamila. I told Jamila, we need to tell Van to not be a pussy.
She also said, let's send this picture. And I said, are you sure? And she said, yeah. And then I said, laugh out loud, because I knew you would stop stalling and reply. It was either ass and titties or talk crazy. One or the other would catch your attention. So when are you available? He said, I'm not interested now. Thank you. And then we freaked out.
Now we were like, oh my God. I was like, we need to Van. Oh no.
I was like, Erica, this is fucking a terrible idea. And then he said...
No, then we said, I'm joking. And just then kidding.
It's not just we're joking. Wait, why is this not going? Anyway, it said something like, we're so sorry. That was a bit aggressive.
And I was fucking with y'all.
Wait. We said, please forgive us. We're just two nice girls. We're just two nice moms.
I was fucking with y'all. Everybody can fuck around. I was fucking with y'all. Nah, I don't want to do it now. I was going to do it, but now I'm fucking
out. Not we're just two nice moms. Anyway...
Van came over to my house about 1 week later.
Mm-hmm. Came over there, we hung out, had a good time. And I was like, oh, man. Like, leaving the house, like, then I knew that you guys would have a successful podcast.
Really?
Totally unhinged. with a very direct point of view. And a point of view that, if we're being honest, like, resonated with me because of my relationship with my mother. Mm. My mom is an incredibly free spirit. I remember one time... I bring a girl over to my mother and my grandmother's house. I told y'all this story before. And my mom goes, so I found a pair of panties in my son's room. I know that they're yours. So you guys are fucking. That's fine with me. Is he pleasing you? Because I didn't raise anyone.
She said that to the girl?
Yeah, it was a big thing.
Oh, my God.
They have been having some margaritas. And so my mother's thing, so the reason why I like to make people uncomfortable is because that's what she likes to do.
Yeah.
So I had already... wonder, I'm like, yo, I'm gonna tell you, you're in here with two southern women. Now when you get in here, they're gonna try you. Don't show weakness. Like, whatever happens, laugh. It's a joke.
She's like the dad.
It's a fun. I'm like, don't show weakness. Just go along with it. They joke with you, throw a joke back. You can't shock them. It's impossible. You can't shock them.
Did she survive?
They fucking got her.
Oh, damn.
Because my mom, this had happened. Like, my mom had went in my room, and she had, you know, picked some stuff up. I remember I looked on my bed, and there was a pair of underwear that were folded in the middle of the bed.
Oh, God.
And then she never brought it up, because I used to have this, last thing I'll say about myself, I used to have this trick that I would do. This was the trick. We had a fairly big house in Zachary. My parents' room was over here, and my room was over here, two separate ends of the house. So I'd have you come over to the crib, and you would stay the night. And then at like 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning, you'd go out the window, you walk around to the front of the house, and you knock on the door like it's Van Ho. Oh, okay, we just saw you here last night. Boom. And then that's how we would have our little overnight situations. I'm like 17, 18, whatever.
Smart man.
And I got sloppy, and then mom put her on blast, and that's it. But I say all that to say that, so liberated women don't intimidate me in the same way they might intimidate other people.
So basically you're saying we're the right man to set the titty pictures to.
Yeah, I'm not gonna be like, oh my God, that shit, breast, what does this mean?
These whores.
Like, nah, not at all. And also,
I knew it. My intuition is spot on even then.
I'm gonna be honest, I don't think we've ever done that ever again.
We did it. You're the only one.
We contemplated, like, should we pull out the move?
And we're like, no.
No.
The move. See, but think about that, though. Like, that can go left.
Oh, yeah, it could have went way left.
I thought it went left. I was like, oh, God, my intuition's fucked up.
When I looked at it, I was like, this is bold as fuck. Mm. But you know what? The good Lord. And we honestly came in on the tail end of the podcast rising. Like, we were like the last, like...
Last of the Mohicans before the podcast went crazy.
Before everybody ordered a microphone online. Mm-hmm. We were like the last ones who was like, let's just do it. And like, thank God we did, because we have. We have like no network. We called it bootstrapping. We bootstrapped our podcast, and it's been quite a ride. But I'm eternally grateful that you took a chance on two bitches from the valley that sent you titty pics.
And then I saw everybody started doing it. Everybody was popping up. I'm like, they're getting a lot of great guests. So I felt like I was in on the ground floor. Let me ask you guys this. The podcast boom, you came in on the tail end of it. What do you see with it? Like, what do you see about particularly the female-led podcasts that are out now, podcasting, period? How has it changed? Because 6 years to grind is a long, long time, particularly if you're not monetized early. So you guys have stuck it out. What do y'all think about the state of podcasting and the state of female-led podcasting now?
I'm sick of it. I'm tired. I do not want to see one more nigga or bitch with a fucking Shure mic at all. I am over it. I'm like, for a long time, when people would say, what do you do? I would laugh when I say I'm a podcaster, because it was kind of a joke. Mm-hmm. And not because I feel like what we did was a joke, but I just like the industry is like whack. Just because anyone can do it, and then you go like, they talk about a lot of people talk about mundane, stupid ass shit. Especially like I guess in our community, there's so many like sex wars and just dumb shit. But I'm grateful we did it and we started when we did. But I also am just like, I want people to be more creative. And I want there to be like some kind of test or vetting system
you want people to have to get a podcast license?
Yeah.
You want people to go down to the podcast DMV and wait in line?
And I'm going to be Simon.
You're going to be the person.
Okay. I need to be the one because I don't want to hear what everybody has to say.
Mm. I think that I appreciate the landscape only because I realize that only the strong survive. Mm. And that there's been a lot of podcasts throughout the years that have started and have even copied our format in ways and have tried to, you know, be the Erica to the Jamila. But you can't fake authenticity. Like, how me and Mila started was completely authentic. Like, there was no setup. There was no like, hey, these are two personalities, let's put them together. Hey, these girls are best friends in real life, so they should be, their best friend love is going to radiate through the podcast frequencies. And you've seen how it hasn't done that. Mm-hmm. And you see how people realize that podcasting is a long game. Mm-hmm. And people think they come into podcasting and they're going to make $1 million in their first season.
Right.
And that's just not how it works. And I think I'm excited for more people who understand that concept to come through. And I think there are some really cool podcasts that are out right now. But overall, I think just like every industry, it basically gets... this is not a great word because I can't find one right now, but raped. Oh. And I feel like it's the podcast space is oversaturated with people that just want to talk.
Yeah.
And have they really don't have a perspective. They have no, I guess, real backbone on what it is that they believe in. And, you know, even me and Mila, like, we've always said that, like, we're not experts in shit and that we might change our mind next year. And I think that's actually been our saving grace, is because a lot of these podcasts claim to be experts in everything. And that's what I'm tired of. That's why we're sitting here right now in this bar, because I am so fucking tired of seeing shore mics and people sitting in podcast studios talking. Yeah. Like, can we get back to real life? Can we have conversations with our friends and get drunk after not drinking tequila for 2 months?
Well, there's like a level of like perfectionism. I feel like people come to podcasts to relate, but if you come to podcasting trying to relate to everyone, you will not. And I think like the gift that we got is that like we really didn't have an expectation and we really didn't give a fuck. We had zero fucks to give. We were like single moms. We had just broken up with long-term relationships and we're like, this is it, bitches. Mm-hmm. We might be wrong, we might be right, but like we have this beautiful gift, like the honesty and the gift of detachment. In the last 6 years, I've learned to let shit go. I might have sounded dumb on episode 4 and 445 and 456 and like a lot of them, but I don't give a fuck because I'm learning and I'm evolving. And like, I probably said the wrong thing and I probably don't feel the same way. And I probably said some shit. I mean, you know,
yeah.
I write about this in the book about like the first thing that you learned about me when we met in human, when we went to dinner, was that I had like slept with someone for some money who just got out of prison. That's not something ideally anyone would put out onto the world and say, like, listen to my story. Mm-hmm. Listen to my story. It's very important. One time I accepted $1,000, but it was the truth. And I didn't have an attachment for whether or not someone was going to love or accept me because of it, or if I was going to continue to be worthy after people knew. A lot of people do shit. A lot of people are not willing to tell people the things that they do and in fear of being judged. Oh. And in this process, because we didn't think anyone was listening and because we really had zero fucks to give, we released the expectation to please everyone, including our parents and friends and peers. And I think a lot of people come into podcasting thinking we're going to be number one. So many people are going to listen to us. And with that in mind, you're going to feel the level of pressure that it feels if thousands of people listen to your deepest secrets. But we didn't have that and we didn't care. And so,
and I think we've been able to keep that.
Yeah.
We've been able to keep that. So
what have you guys learned from your audience? Because you have this vibrant community of women and men who almost deify you guys' experience in a real way. It's very religious. Like, what have you guys learned
from... You better call me a goddess.
What have you guys learned from your audience in this 6 years?
What have I learned from my audience?
A lot.
I mean, I've learned that there's a lot of women like me. And I've also learned there's a lot of women that are not like me that just want to hear stories. Mm. I've learned that there's a lot of women that need friends. I've learned that there's a lot of men that need guidance and need to listen to women and are open to listening to women, which was surprising to me because at the beginning of our show, I was really like, men don't listen to shit. Fuck niggas, I'm over them, I'm gonna fuck them and dispose of them just like they do to us. That was really kind of like my vibe. Mm-hmm. And I've learned that there's a lot of men that really want to understand women's perspectives. And I have learned that regardless of whether you're black, white, whatever it is, so many of our experiences are just universal. Mm-hmm. Yes. There are experiences specific to being a black woman or a brown woman in America or wherever the fuck you are. But ultimately, what I've also learned is that, like, motherhood and this experience of womanhood, really, there's a blur between color lines. And a lot of my experiences and the things I've learned from black women, I've learned from white women, and it's really opened up my mind and my heart to listening to other people's perspectives, because at first I would be like, I don't really give a fuck about what this white bitch has to say. I really don't care. And shout out to our white followers. Love you. It's opened up my heart. Really, I've learned to be so much more patient with women because of the tribe. Mm. And really, the biggest moment of learning in that was when I started meeting the women in person. Like, it's one thing to like talk to an empty room and DM, but when me and Mila started to have like community meetups, and when we started to do the retreats, that was really when I was sitting in circles with women that were like, in any other circumstance, I would curse you the fuck out. Mm. In any other circumstance, I would not give you grace. You would not be my friend in real life. Mm. And then you're in the jungle in another country and you're like, okay, well, we're here, so let's figure this out. It has given me this new, I guess, perspective on how much women just really need grace. Mm. And even men, how men need grace, and how I've opened up my heart to both men and women in a way that before I didn't really think I could or would.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. I think women have been domesticated to a place of a fraction of themselves. I've learned that judgment and shame have reduced a lot of women to just being a small percentage of who they actually are. I've seen women forget the basic shit, like, hey, bitch, do what you want. Mm. What brings you joy? What brings you happiness? Go skinny dip. Do a fucking cartwheel. And it's simple fucking shit. Like, you're not a bad mom if you want to take a fucking vacation. Like, it's very minimal, small shit. But I realized that, like, Erica and I living out loud, like, quite literally out loud, has been liberating for women. And I'm like, okay, it's not that big of a deal. And for other people, it is. Like, no matter where you live or what certain, like, the people and society that you exist in, tell women to be small and to be one-sided in one way. And we're multifaceted ass women. Like, I'm sexy, I'm a whore, I'm a slut, and I'm also like a homemaker. Mm-hmm. And I'm fucking baking cookies, and I'm bike riding, and I'm taking my kid to tutoring, and you can do that too. And I just realized that, like, women genuinely, society, men really need this reminder too, that I can be a respectable woman and I can also go like to Coachella and fuck off. But I don't think I would have realized it as clearly if it wasn't through communication and through community and through retreats and meetups, that women are losing themselves at a rapid rate because they're existing in environments and in family structures and in friend structures that really victimize existing and playing and having fun. Cool. Joy.
And I'm happy to be the extreme in all of that, so that women can fall somewhere in the spectrum of their own personal freedom. Right. Like, if I have to be fucking extreme just so you can fucking relax, I'm gonna do that. And I feel like that is our gift. And that is...
We're extreme by nature. Thank you, God. God has granted us the gift of extreme.
Naughty by nature.
Oh, did we get a necklace? Naughty by nature.
They already did it. They were big in the 90s.
But there are women, Van.
So... 6 years, a lot of words said, a lot of experiences. Any regrets? Anything that you regret?
It's not really regret, maybe a little bit. I wish I would have not shared all of my relationships. Mm. Only because I feel like niggas really think that I care so deeply because I've shared an experience. When it's really just, I just be talking. Mm-hmm. And I just be talking to my best friend, and I'd be forgetting there's cameras there. And it's really not about that I cared so deeply. It was just like, he was a fuck nigga and he needed to be... I was just telling my friend, like, this is what happened. And then they're like, oh, you talked about me? I'm important. Tell me, why didn't you say that to me and to my face? I was like, no, I did say that to your face. You just don't listen, and that's why we're not together. So I don't know. I think there's times where I wish I wouldn't have shared certain people that at this point, and even in that point, I don't want to say it didn't matter because every person has contributed to my journey, but I think that there's certain people that I've spoken about that have really... held on to the fact that I shared them publicly. Mm-hmm. So that would probably be my only regret. I'm not one that lives in regret.
Right. I didn't think so.
Yeah.
Literally, my high school quote is no regrets. In my yearbook, it says no regrets. Yeah, I don't really have any regrets.
You know what my regret would be is that some of the regrets that I hold is that I didn't share more earlier.
Mm. Really?
Like, I feel like I was pretty open early, but I was also reserved because I was nervous. There was a point in the early on in the podcast that I was going to quit, and I told Jamila to just move on without me because I was
good mom.
Bad choices.
Because I remember early on, I have this like vivid memory. It was actually like I was on live, and Weezy came into one of my lives, and she was talking. I don't know. She was just saying a bunch of wild shit, and my mom was in the live, and then and I didn't know she was in the live, and then we got off the live. My mom was like, "You need to quit your fucking hobby."
You were in Dubai.
I was in Dubai working.
She called me from Dubai. Like, we have to stop. Weezy came into the live. I'm like, bitch, fuck Weezy. Jesus. I was like, she did it on purpose to fuck with you. She was like, find somebody else. I was like, it's not happening. Call you back.
Yeah. So because of that, not because of that, but there have definitely been times where I've held back based on just out of fear of losing my job, my family business job, that I felt like I was like going to ruin my mom's opportunities for investors. Right. And people saying like it was too much, and a lot of the suffering that I've experienced in this life has been worrying about what other people think. And so Good Moms has really been a weekly release of not really giving a fuck. And so I feel like through the years and through the episodes, I have learned to care less and less and less. But early on, I was, I don't want to say reserved, but there were things that like I didn't share because out of respect for my mom, out of fear, out of not even respect, but like fear of like looking stupid or like not even wanting to expose my child's father because maybe we'd get back together, even though like I would never have admitted that out loud. And also just being embarrassed about my storyline as far as like how I became a single mom and not really wanting to like fully share all the details of it. And now knowing like I've written a whole book and I've shared all those things pretty candidly, how therapeutic it was for me and how therapeutic it has been for other women. I guess my only regret is not sharing more.
Mm. On our podcast, the audience kicks my ass a lot.
Do they?
Yeah, they do.
No.
Yeah, for sure. Very opinionated. I have a very specific way of looking at the world. And sometimes I'm not far enough to the left for them. And then sometimes I'm not safe enough for them. It's always an interesting thing to get the feedback from the audience. They love the ideas. They like me, but they always want more in some way. Has there ever been a time you guys felt like you disappointed your audience?
The only time I ever felt like I disappointed my audience was when we read Lipstick Alley. And they said, we missed the days when Erica and Jamila were hoeing more. Now like on their wellness shit and they're healed. Where the fuck are the fun stories? And I was like, bitch, are we boring? Like,
oh yeah, I forgot about that. Can you imagine being so wild that you lose your audience over being healed and normal? That's crazy. And it did. That did bother me for a while. I was like, God, I need to like remember some of my horror stories. But I guess.
You guys can understand that, right? If people are living vicariously, if people are saying, I can only be, let's say you guys are Erica and Mila every day, but it's people that go, I can only be Erica and Mila on Saturday. And the other 6 days, I just look at them on Instagram and listen to the podcast.
You know, and then we're doing meditation and sound healing.
And then y'all talking about,
I have a boyfriend now.
This is my 65th day celibate. That's not what they came for. They didn't come for that shit. So what I'm saying is, how do you deal with that? Like when that has happened, because your growth, you have to pull them with you sometimes. You know what I mean?
I think that we just ignore it, which probably isn't the best thing too, because I've seen how our listens have fluctuated based on like whatever content we've posted. But I haven't really like, I'm thankful that me and Mila do not live and die by numbers. Because if we did, we'd fucking drive ourselves fucking crazy. I've seen some of my friends literally looking at insights and analytics and being like, what worked? What didn't work? I got to do more of this. And I'm like, I'm seeing them go crazy. And I'm like, bitch, I don't know why our listens are down 3,000 this month. I don't give a fuck. I'm going to talk about this week. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I think that the beauty of what we do is that you're literally on the journey of our life with us. We have an audio journal. That's really what Good Moms, Bad Choices is. It's a personal audio journal. And thank God I have it, because the way my memory is set up, I'm really going to have to go back and listen to this shit. But I think like that has been our saving grace, is that it has been a release and we don't listen to our show. I can't even tell you the last time I listened to an episode.
Definitely not in totality.
The only time I listen to episodes is to find clips. Mm-hmm. And I try not to do that, because if I do, at this point, I would never do that anyway. But we don't edit anything. Like, there's no cuts, there's no edits. And that also has been, an issue for guests mm-hmm. that come on and, they want us to send the episode after it's recorded. And, I'm like, no.
We've cut ties. Like, people we thought we were homies with during the episode, we haven't spoken, this not very often, probably one time that the episode comes out and they're like, I don't think I sounded good. I'm like, bitch, you were there. You said it. And we're not redoing it because this costs money and this is production and we have shit to do. And just realizing that people, the gift of releasing that we've
practiced
is not something that everyone has the capacity to do.
Yeah. So some people can't. I mean, some people, they don't, like you say, they don't have the capacity to. Some people just, they can't allow themselves to be that untethered to what people think.
Or just be imperfect. Because, mm-hmm. Even when you think about, things that I regret, I don't regret shit. Because it's all been a practice. It's all been, in evolution and growth. We might have had, one episode that was probably not, super kosher. Sometimes I think about if people are going to understand me or understand our weird humor about, Christianity and, witches and shit like that. But,
witches. That motherfucker's doing root work over here. What the fuck? Tell me about it. Tell me what's going on. Y'all fucking with the energies and shit?
Of course.
Yeah.
We're alchemists.
You say, yeah.
Hey. You're the one who said it. Look where we started and look where we're at.
Oh, look. Because my mother is a hoodoo practitioner. I'm just trying to see y'all.
Does your mom need to come on the show?
You guys would love her.
Yeah.
She's a hoodoo practitioner. Sebek and all of these things, different energies. My dad used to be my dad one time got me up. He said, Van, walk out the front door for me. I was like, what? He was like, get up and walk out the front door for me. The root work not going to work on you. You're her son. If I walk out the front door first, I'm fucked up. But you walk out. I walk out there, there's eggs cracked on the ground, all kinds of shit like that. She goes, well, babe, what are you doing? That was for him?
Now it's going back on Mark. Now your dad putting root work on you.
It's not going to work on me. It's intentional root work. It's not going to work on me. She's trying to figure out and mess fuck with the energies and all of that stuff. I love my mom.
I mean, even for us, I think that's been that if you've watched us for the last 6 years and you've seen the evolution of how we talk about the energy and how we manifest and how explicit and transparent we've been with it. There was a time in the beginning, we would not say we're witches. We would not say it because we know black women don't fuck with it. Like saying you're a witch in the black community is the hell with them. But if we were we love Jesus, we'd probably have way more listeners.
We saw how that went for in a particular podcast that
they
loves
did
Jesus,
love Jesus. And then not Jesus didn't that, save their friendship.
I don't know what y'all talking about right now.
You don't have to.
Okay.
Know who the fuck.
I don't. I really don't. I love Jesus, but
Jesus created plants that I should be smoking right now. And to further that, I will say,
not Jesus created plants. I love Jesus.
Yeah,
too.
Jesus created this here plant.
He was a great carpenter.
Jesus Christ.
He was
of Nazareth.
Nazareth.
By the way, I just want to. You guys mentioned him, so I want to shout him out too. I want to shout out Lipstick Alley, because Lipstick Alley keeps me humble. Whenever I think I'm getting off, I'm doing my thing, nigga. Don't want an Oscar, nigga. That came up. I just type in Van Lathan, Lipstick Alley. Yo, I hate this bitch, Van Lathan. it's up and down. Shout out to Lipstick Alley. Because they talk. I don't mind that. I like for people to express themselves about things that I say. I put myself out there. So that's what it is. Mila, where would you be in your life if not for Erica?
Where would you be, darling?
I don't know. I don't know where I'd be. Lashing my life away. Where would I be without Erica? That's a pretty in-depth question, and I don't know. I think about that often.
I
do. I just think about the wild turn my life took when we met. like, honestly, we talk about this entity and we talk about it lightly and we joke, Jamerica. But the truth of the matter is like, when we met, something extremely divine and magical took place. Like, when you talk about soulmates and like soul relationships, this was something that was absolutely 400% supposed to happen. And it's been humbling and it's been beautiful. And I want to say orgasmic, but I know people can't really like take sex, platonic sex, and bring it to sex. But tantric.
Yeah, it's hard to have a platonic orgasm. So yeah, if you say
but
orgasmic,
we've done it.
You guys have had platonic orgasms?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Talk about it. What do you mean?
Well, darling, you know, I'm.
So you guys, what you're saying is you've looked at her and been like, that's such my friend. I've never had that's an interesting, I've never heard of the friendship nut. The friendship nut is crazy.
We'll be here first to tell you. We call it the goddess experience. But it is a friendship nut, and it's kriyas. It's energetic orgasms. It's being able to harness and facilitate and hold on to and elongate the pleasure that you experience when you have a divine experience with someone. And there's been conduits, it's just been us, but there's been ways in which we've experienced life changing things that are so unreal and so juicy that we're like, pretty much, basically. And yeah, I think without Erica, I think when I met Erica and when we started, she's really been the reason I've recognized my power, recognize what like a powerful witch I am. And when I say witch, I just mean like alchemist. And like when we joined forces, it was very clear that like when we have the same vision, even Van, I'll be honest, like you were one of the first, there's like probably five or six first realizations that our power was very strong, because we were just like DMing people. And I'm like, he seems close enough, but far enough, celebrity enough that we can get in. Mm-hmm. And like literally within minutes, you text back and we're like, we did it. We're like, he can do it. But we didn't, I think we knew it could happen, but we didn't really know it could happen. Mm-hmm. But then when you came over and we became friends, there was an energy that started to build, and that we realized that like our thoughts and our words could manifest in reality.
Absolutely.
We started to like be able to kindle between the realms of like mind and thought, energetic to 3D. And I don't think I would have come to that realization of my personal power without Erica. Erica's a bad bitch. She comes from like a mother who's super super
accomplished
boss,
successful
boss, yeah. Woman, and she brings that to the table, you know, and she's seen it happen, and she's, you know, and so when I tapped into that power, we exchanged in it, and I don't know if I would have been able to tap into it the same way had it not been for her confidence in ways, and instilling confidence in me. And yeah, I'm grateful for that all the time. And even in this chapter, as we like do things separately, I can tap into that bank.
What was the question?
How would your life be different if Jamerica wasn't in it?
Oh, it would be so boring.
So boring.
Way boring. Really gave me confidence, like real confidence, because I feel like I've always been able to wear the mask of confidence really easily. Like, people have always thought I'm like the most confident woman in the room. That's just, I guess, the facade that I've always been able to assert. I don't know if that comes from like seeing my mom as a single mom have to fake it till she make it, and also being an actor and learning how to fake it till I make it, and also as a child, like not wanting people to like see my vulnerabilities in ways. So there's a level of protection, and that I guess exudes this air of confidence, when really it was rooted in a lot of insecurity And so I think even, you know, when I talk about the story of how I saw Jamila on Instagram and her confidence that I saw in the picture that I saw triggered the fuck out of me, because it was real confidence. Like, she was like, I'm in a string bikini. I just gave birth and I'm at the fucking pool party with my daughter because I'm living my best life. Whether or not she was actually happy and whatever the fuck, like, to me, I saw that and I was like, oh my God, like, that's, she's really confident. And I felt myself like, am I? And so I think in this partnership with Jamila, like, I've really been able to cultivate genuine confidence in the bossiness that she sees in me, in the creator in me. Like, I'm a fucking creator. Like, I am a well of ideas in all different types of ways. And for a long time, especially like right before I had my daughter, during the early stages of motherhood, I felt so insecure about my gifts. As an actor, I felt like I wasn't booking shit for so long. Like, maybe I just shouldn't do this shit anymore. Like, as a writer and a singer, I was like, I'm not very good at that either. Like, I was like, had so many different things I had tapped into, but I hadn't mastered any of it.
Yeah.
And so I think being in this relationship with Jamila and building Good Moms with her, like, I've mastered the fuck out of this shit. Mm. Like, I feel 100% confident in what I bring to the table as not just a business owner or like a podcaster or Erica, but like just as a woman overall, as a human, I feel like I'm doing my due diligence to really master myself. Mm. And this is a lifelong journey and I'm committed to it, but I feel confident in knowing that that's the trajectory that I'm on. And a lot of that is because of my friend.
Niggas! Let's talk about it. What?
He couldn't wait. I could see him. He was rocking like a little crackhead.
Just like,
am I going to talk about niggas?
What about him?
What
about him, Van?
The opportunity, my man, and I'll never pass up the opportunity to center ourselves and myself in any conversation. So let's talk about men.
Never would you do that.
And how you guys want men to respond to what it is that you're doing. Do you care if men respond to the podcast? Do you care if they are fans? Do you care if they get something from it? Is it even a target audience? One time I was interviewing Ava DuVernay and I asked her what she would want white people to get from when they see us.
Okay, like, Sprinkle. I interviewed Ava DuVernay.
And we're getting asked the same question about niggas?
And she goes, I just remember her going, because it was a daring answer to somebody who asked something on Netflix.
Right.
She just goes, I don't care. She's like, that's the furthest thing from my mind is what they get. I didn't do it for that. I didn't make it for that. Do you care if men are enriched, if men get anything from the content that you put out? Because it's very liberating and empowering to women. Do you care what men get?
Listen, one thing I've learned, I recognize if we're speaking the same language. Now, men, if you check out Good Moms and you see beautiful Erica and beautiful Mila living in their joy and peace and purpose fully and out loud, and you don't fucking get it at all, and you are triggered and you think that we're fucking debaucherous and wild and crazy and not to be wives or mothers, if you feel that way, you're not speaking our language. You are not on the level, and I do not give a fuck about your opinion. I realize that there's no hope for you in this season or maybe this lifetime, and I feel for you and I release you. However, if you're a man and you realize and you can resonate with and relate to joy, pure joy of friendship and love and growth, and you say, I want that. I want my wife or my girlfriend to live in this existence, because what the fuck would an unhappy wife look like? Then I encourage you and I invite you to come gather around the women in the wombs of the world, because the universe is here between our legs. And if you're smart enough, you will get with the program and probably get more pussy and more peace.
Pussy and peace is what you would get. Pussy and peace is what you would get.
She's risen up the camera. That was interesting. So there is something for men to get out of they can get pussy.
They get the residual.
If you get it.
You get it.
If you get the message of pouring into the women in which you came from and what you give to and what you exchange with, and that we are intuitive and that we are nurturers and that we deeply love on a level that sometimes is fucking dangerous to our own existence and our own purpose, then you understand the value of pouring into a wild primal woman. And you realize that once you have that protection and you protect that, that your purpose and your passion will always be protected in a way that no one can fuck with, because we're witches. Mm-hmm. And literally, we alchemize and shift shit if we want to, and if we genuinely love and we genuinely feel safe. And I see that, like, men have felt been comfortable in allowing women to, like, not feel safe, not be whole. We're like, oh, well, if I do this, I'll be loved. But what if she does this? You know, like, then who will she be? Like, do you want a bitch who fears you and wants to shrink? Or do you want to see the full version so you can choose?
Do you want to see her full expression? What her expression on this life, in this life, is supposed to be outside of who you are? Because you have choices. You don't have to choose that woman. You don't have to actually love that woman. That's okay. Just find the woman for you. She may not be as wild as Jamila or me. Mm-hmm. She might, her expression might look different, but allowing her to exist as she is and pouring into her is always going to benefit you.
And respecting her.
We can't wait for it to benefit you. In fact, we cannot fucking wait for that.
Literally. All we fucking want is for it to be a man who is worthy of us pouring, and that would just allow us to live and be.
Why do you think men have a problem with that?
Because they're too busy trying to tell us how to be.
Why?
Because they've benefited.
Because men need to stay out of women's business.
they've benefited from women shrinking.
Mm-hmm. That too.
It's like racism. If you're a white person who doesn't want to acknowledge, like, race in America and, like, systemized racism, you benefit from the system, right? You benefit from people not knowing themselves. You benefit from people shrinking in certain situations. You benefit from it. But if you're a white person who's like, I see it, shit's fucked up, let's be real, then you benefit from the expansion of the world as a whole. And so there's a difference. So if you're so afraid of women existing and their sexuality and their sensuality, if me taking, like just embodying my whole self, if that is what I do,
and it offends you,
you're afraid that what that looks like if I pull out my full wings, if I expand fully. But, like, the, also it's just like, who wants to? I don't want a slave. I want a willing lover. Mm-hmm. And so that's the difference. Do you want someone who has been contained and domesticated, a pup that's been beat? Or do you want someone, a wild, like, it's like Avatar. Do you want that, like, that big dinosaur in the fucking sky that you have to tame and plug into? Or Turu do you want Maktau,
the rider of the, yeah, he becomes Turu Maktau.
I know, I fucking, yeah. Say it again.
Turu Maktau.
Yeah, and, like, you take the ponytail out, and you're like,
you put the fucking thing in there.
Yeah. You want to, like, take Turu that Maktau version of me?
Do you want that storyline, or do you want the fucking,
I don't know.
The one we know how everyone ends. It ends the same, and it's sad and boring.
You know what people sometimes struggle to understand? The difference between safety and protection. So if, let's say that there are two people right here, and they're getting ready to fight. Big, huge guy. Let's say it's Mike Tyson and his fucking, I don't know, some little bitty nigga. Like, I don't want to diss nobody because niggas take that seriously. But it's Mike Tyson and just, I don't know, it's Bow Wow. They're getting ready to fight. Shout out to Bow Wow. But I don't think you can fuck with Mike Tyson, but shout out to Bow Wow. They're getting ready to fight.
Absolutely not.
All right. So, Mike Tyson looks at Bow Wow and he goes, I'm not going to fuck him up. You're too small. You don't have any training. I'm not going to fuck you up. Bow Wow is not safe. The small guy isn't safe. He's protected. Mm. The powerful person is saying, I could hurt you.
But I'm not going to.
But I'm not going to. Mm-hmm. That, even though no violence is going to come to you, your safety and who you are is based upon what this person chooses to do to you or not to do. The only way for the person, the smaller person, to be safe is to be powerful. That's the only thing. And I think sometimes men have a problem with allowing women to be able to hurt them as well. Because the only way that you can be powerful is if there are consequences for bad actions, both economically, emotionally, and then sometimes physically. Protecting women, even anytime you hear somebody say protect black women, mm-hmm. it's a good slogan, but it's not enough. The slogan is empower black women. And anytime you empower somebody, you have to give them a say in their own situation. They have to have the ability to hurt and demand better from you. And that's what doesn't reinforce patriarchy. So, yeah, you want a man to protect you. You want a man to do all of this stuff. But more importantly than that, in my opinion, you want somebody to invest into you to where you don't need them. You want them. That's hard. And it's hard because as men, we are taught to commodify women. A woman is something that you add to your life that rounds out your portfolio. I want a wife. I want a house. Kids.
I mean, women have the same, those have the same ideology in ways.
No, but women's need for husbands is more, it has way more to do with their worthiness and their worth.
Yeah, it's not about commodity in that way.
Our relationship status has a lot to do with our worth. And so I could be, even as you see it every day, successful women who are single are not, are disposable. You're too bossy. You're too masculine. But and like, and it's a wound for them if you're not married and have kids. Women pride themselves, the top of the list is I'm married, I have a kid. I'm married and I'm a mother.
Mm-hmm. Married number one.
Because the number one, like, I don't look at a lot of comments, but the number one comment I see is, where's your husband? Mm-hmm. Bitch, you're a baby mama. You chose that man. Mm-hmm. All the, it's like literally the most, it's the easiest target for us.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Does, do the mean comments that people say, do they get to you guys?
Not really.
No. I'll be tripping.
Really?
I don't really look in, honestly. I'm so not going to look. I will literally see things and just skip over it and go to the next one. Like, my brain actively chooses not to, no violence.
The only thing that bothers me in a real way is when someone completely misconstrues something that I said.
Oh, right, they don't get it.
Like,
yeah.
When I say something and then they go, Van came out and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, yo, I didn't fucking say that. And then I'll be on Reddit writing paragraphs and paragraphs.
But this is
and then
what
I'll
I'm
just
talking,
delete the shit.
But this is what I'm talking about. I realize that some people are not even speaking your motherfucking language. Mm-hmm. You are speaking Chinese. Mm-hmm. If you don't even live in the land of intelligence that I live in, what the fuck do I look like going back and forth with you? You're looking at me, bitch. I don't even know you. So, like, I have to continue, like, physical stuff. I'm like, bitch, you don't even have a picture up on here because you are, like,
God damn, Mila.
It's true.
This is why I refrain from interacting because I'm like, you're as silly as these bitches looking at you. And that's the truth. It's like a lot of time, one time I did, I felt really bad. I commented on this man and I was like, nobody's talking to you.
I mean, sometimes you gotta do that.
These are not even conversations that pertain to you, sir, because I don't even know who you're fucking. You're not fucking. But then I realized, like, what if I was the last insult of the day and he did something harmful to himself?
I'll be honest with you, though. But I will say this.
What if his was to you?
It is fucked up, but sometimes just amongst us, we do have to have those conversations together as men. Sometimes it's like, man, you know, Zendaya ain't got enough body for me. Maybe you don't have those worries. Like, I mean, I feel what you're saying, but bruh,
why?
Bruh, right. You know, but I'm like, bruh,
Zendaya is gorgeous.
I'm telling you, like,
she's
you know,
body for me.
I'm like, she ain't got no body. That ain't how I like her.
She has,
like,
supermodel body.
Hey, bro, I appreciate you. I'm not even trying to pander. I swear to God, I know it looks like that. But I'm like, but that's funny to me. That's funny to me.
It's like Saweetie can.
But
it's like, I'm just, that's funny to me. It'd be funny to me when they say that because I'd be like, damn, bro, what time you gotta make it to AutoZone? Now look, it's hilarious, but that's how we are. We all got a lot growing to do. All right, last question I'll ask you.
Okay.
All right, we all got a lot growing to do. I'll be on that shit too.
Listen,
I'll be on that shit too. Sometimes I gotta check myself. Be like, man, she doesn't care.
It's just like I almost talked about J-Lo's terribly addictive special with her not so good singing, that was just enough that I said, I would do this. I wish someone would give me $20 million so I could mediocre sing and do dance moves, but no one will. So it's the reality of, like, should you say the thing? It could be true, but it probably doesn't pertain to you.
That's art, though. You can
two things can be true. Yeah, you can be being art. A bitch, and no, also J-Lo
right.
can be
that's
fulfilling
art.
Her dreams.
That's art. That's your art. Friend's just talking shit, and he'll never
it's just
have
funny.
A day
in. It's just funny, bro. It's a funny situation. When I think about it, it's funny. I got you, dog. Okay, last thing. The future. Obviously. Young women in control of your destiny. You've broken free from the matrix, broken free from the system. You're determining it for yourself. It's tough. Some people are clocking in and clocking out and they don't have these same opportunities that you guys have. What is the future for not only Good Moms, Bad Choices, the brand, but also for Erica and Mila?
It's a loaded question. It's a lot. Because there's a lot of Jamericas and Milas and Ericas. I think leisure. Like a lot of less work. A lot of book reading. A lot of tropical climates. A lot of time with our kids. This last 6 years has gone by really quickly. And we've seen, like, we've put our head down. And, like, we've wild out. But, like, we've done a lot of work. And I don't even think you and I realize how much work we've done. I don't think you really how many hours we've like put in and like to our friendship, to our, you know, and just to this brand. And like, I really hope that in this next chapter that we get everything that we deserve and everything we've worked for, so that we can really chill and like really be out of the matrix and heal more women and show, not even heal more women, but like bring them back to themselves. Mm-hmm. And, I just also know that like God's going to make that happen, because that's what needs to happen energetically on this planet.
Mm. More creation. Mm-hmm. Creation is like my gift, is our gift to the universe. So I just want to be able to create in leisure and really understand what creation looks like when I am just existing and I'm not pulled in 1,000 directions. And I want to spend more time with myself in this next chapter of Good Moms and encourage other women to do so, while also empowering women. So like spreading the message, but also like coming back to myself more. I've done a lot of like radiating over the last 6 years, and I feel like it's going to continue to keep going no matter what. That's just the frequency of sound and energy. Mm-hmm. So I am trying to create my TV shows and meet women in different countries and write important things on pieces of paper and send it off and see what happens.
I say those last questions a lot, so I'm gonna get heteronormative for a second.
Oh Lord. Okay.
Do you guys want more children?
I do. Yeah.
Are there good more motherness to come, or is that something that's?
I want more children. Mm-hmm. Child. Child.
More child.
One more.
One singular child. Lord. Child. Not because I want to be twins.
Only because my words are very powerful.
Yeah.
I want more child. And that's something new, and that's only, I think, come up because I've rested more. You know, and that's why I'm excited to see who Erica is when she is not in create. Yes, create, because I'm obsessed with everything I fucking do. I fucking love this shit. But also, this shit stresses me the fuck out. There's certain elements of creation that I don't want to have to be a part of.
Like the business.
I like that part a little bit, but there's just certain things I'm just like, you know what? I have 4 people in place in front of me that I trust wholeheartedly, that understand, and they'll report back to me if I need to really understand why this email needs to be sent or not. Mm. You know? But I think that being able to feel more confident in where I'm at, in my stability, in my choices, good and bad, I have come to the realization that yes, I do want one more child. Whereas before I was like,
Keep them demon children away from me.
Not demon. It was just like, do I trust myself to choose the right person?
Yeah.
Like, I don't want to do this shit alone. This shit can be ghetto. I want to make this very clear. We have a whole brand about single motherhood, and I fucking love being a mom, and that's beautiful and great. But I have had to find a lot of the glory in single motherhood. It is not beyond me that raising a child is more ideal with two parents. Mm-hmm. The tribe is great and is so crucial. But like feeling confident and knowing that like when you enter into a union and creating another soul in this world, that like you are in conversation and in agreement that you guys are going to be friends and you guys are in collaboration. This is a fucking collaboration and we are collaborating on a fucking human for the next however long.
The biggest collaboration of your life.
Yeah. And like I think that like I did not trust my choices in the collaboration, whereas I feel more and more like allowing God to just guide me and not resist is how I create that collaboration. I finally have like submitted and surrendered, you know. Mm. So leisure.
You guys make parenthood sound like such a trans.
You want kids, man?
I keep coming up with that $500.
What?
Think about it. Anyway.
Oh, the
portion. I'm gonna keep coming up with that.
But wait, but Erica, how soon? Like, would you do that soon? Like, do you have a timeline if you were gonna be a mom again?
No, because I'm surrendering. So I don't have a timeline. I know that I would ideally not be soon. I hope not. Like, I'm not.
So funny. You know what's funny? Hmm. It's just the universe hears things. Erica getting pregnant this year. Erica's gonna be pregnant.
I need another drink.
Erica's.
Bartender.
The universe is here. She just saying.
Yeah, we have things to do.
Erica's gonna get pregnant this year. It's gonna be so funny.
What drink do you want?
Tequila.
Water bath and water break in Costa Rica.
That's our dream. What if we could give birth like in the bathtub, like next to each other?
And y'all make us relax?
That would happen. Like, if you know the type of experiences me and Mila have had,
I can imagine.
And not even like on purpose. Curate this like crazy movie like experience. Like it's like no, bitch. Just
this is just your life.
Surrender.
Yeah.
When you surrender and say yes, your life is like.
It's okay, but you know you're gonna hang out with us more.
I will. I will.
You're
I
can't gonna come. Start having like.
I can't come to Costa Rica. That's fun.
You
I
can.
Ask.
We have land there.
Yeah, you come visit us.
You guys have land. You're building something there. Yeah. Y'all gotta do something for the niggas. Y'all gotta do a Zendaya themed.
How about a couples retreat?
Couples retreat?
Yeah.
We'll go down there. Yeah. I'll bring it down. Yeah.
Even though I asked you if we should do tantra and you said you're a nigga and you have to.
There are limits. There are limits.
What is the niggas and tantras can't do?
Well, all I'm saying is for me is like, it gets to a point to where I'm, because I just look around at different things. So I'm like, what are we doing, man?
That's the problem. You're thinking, what are we doing?
Oh, I'm too. Hey, look, I am self aware, like to the nth degree. Look, I have to have friends like you guys to go, that's dope. That's amazing. And then me, I just got to get to a level.
We look at you and say, that's dope. That's amazing. All the fucking time.
Yeah, I get it. But what I'm saying is there's a freeness that it just worked on me. Okay. The whole shit, the matrix, it worked on me. So there's a freeness that I'm okay with not having. Mm. I get in the Vision Pro and I'm on the Apple Vision Pro and that's when I'm free. I'm in the digital world.
What the fuck is Apple Vision Pro?
See, you don't even know. You don't know this type of shit I'm on.
You're a robot.
You don't know. Fan. I'm in the visual.
You need to
I'm
get out of
here. We're going to come pick you up this week.
Nah.
You can go to Costa Rica.
Nah, I don't want to come now.
Yeah, no.
Now it seems like too much of a big deal. I'll
fan,
go
look
Costa
me in the
Rica.
Eyes. Look me in the eyes, man.
I'll go.
Look at me.
I'm afraid of what's going to happen. That's it.
We need to go to
platonic male girlfriend interview is over. I will say this. I've said this before. I've said it on various podcasts to where people have actually asked if I was producing you guys' podcast. I really am actually very proud of you guys.
Thank you.
I think what you do is the message that you have is very essential. I love to see free, fulfilled, and just loved on women. And you guys' journey to that is very, very powerful. And I hope that it continues. And I wish nothing but abundance onto both of you guys' lives and your podcast. So thank you for having me.
Thank you.
No problem.
Thank you for coming.
No problem.
We didn't have this any lingerie pictures this time.
No,
we just had your phone number now.
Yeah. Here we go. Some bubbles.
Thank you.
And then have you been enjoying the mocktails tonight?
Yeah, thank you.
Mocktails? What the fuck are you drinking? What is that, water? Bubbled water?
I need to hydrate. What? I've been wanting to tell you something.
What?
I'm pregnant.
So it's the last episode of season 2. We're going off season and we'll be over at Patreon. So if you want to get this tea and all the intimate secrets of the Good Moms and just all the bonus episodes on our off season, come to Patreon. We have so much stuff over there and we can't wait to share it with our tribe. So go to Patreon and subscribe to get all the tea.